our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Get up off your ass and get up on the podcast! Rich Police Radio! Rich Police Radio! Rich Police Radio! Rich Police Radio! Get up off your ass and get up on the podcast, Rich Police Radio!
All right, welcome to Rich Police Radio. As people who listen to the show and have been listening for a number of years know, I mean, obviously the show is focused on local artists and local bands and solo artists and that kind of thing. But I also like to talk to people who are involved in the music scene, but not necessarily on stage. People are doing things like putting on events or making posters or doing photography or doing videography. There's all kinds of people who are involved in the music scene who are doing cool stuff for the local music scene that aren't necessarily the people performing. So I think in this case, we have someone who's involved in putting on a fairly large scale event that's been running for a few years. And I think the best way to start this off is if you want to introduce yourself and we can get right into it.
Hi, Sam. Thanks for having me on the podcast. My name's Richard Houle, and I run Bankside Music Festival out in Letelier, Manitoba.
Cool. And I think Bankside is one of those things that I've definitely heard of it. Every year when it happens, I hear of it, I see the posters, and I just haven't gone yet. Every year there's at least like 1, 2, 3, 4 bands that I know personally or that I've interviewed before or whatever that are on the show. But it just seems like one of those things that like, oh, cool, this is happening and the timing doesn't work out or whatever. But how long have you actually been running this? Because it seems like I've certainly seen a number of years worth of lineups.
Yeah, so the Bankside brand started in 2018. So this is number 8. We're on 18, 19, live stream in 2020, 21, and then 22, 24. So yeah, we've been at her for a while.
Cool. And then, so this is the 2026 edition is what we're going to be talking about here. And I guess, what is the background here? I mean, because that's, I know that venue, that location has a number of different events sort of throughout the year and throughout the summer, but has it always been there? And if yes, how did you sort of get this set up?
So there's only Bankside that happens on this property.
Okay, okay.
It's actually an old farmyard. I grew up on this property.
Oh,
it was
interesting.
An old farm
okay.
That was since relocated. They've relocated the farm and now it's a music festival.
Well, that goes to show my lack of knowledge of outside of the perimeter, right? Because I thought this was a different place, but that's really cool. Actually, that makes a lot of sense why you'd be doing this on that spot then. So I guess why a music festival? I've been involved many years ago in organizing a music festival, and it was a huge pain in the ass. It was a lot of fun, but it was a lot of work. And I'm glad I'm not doing it now. But what was the sort of incentive for you to start putting this on?
Well, I've played in bands since I was a teenager, basically dating back to 2005. And we used to do shows in southern Manitoba under different brands, you know, on farmyards. And it's just kind of slowly evolved to this. So yeah, it started in 2005 and then under the Bankside brand in 2018. So
cool. Was the goal here just to sort of provide opportunities for some of these bands that whether you were playing with or for friends of yours or bands you knew from the area? Is that sort of how this started?
Yeah, yes and no. I always had a bigger picture of growing it into something, just knowing there's a demand for it, that there isn't any festivals in Manitoba that really, you know, book, you know, the punk acts and the metal and the rock. I mean, we got rock festivals, but there's no real, and you know, with Winnipeg, there's such a big scene for it that it kind of felt like there's a need for it. So might as well step up and fill that spot, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I think you're right. There's so many festivals. I mean, and there's so many festivals that are super diverse in their lineups, where it'll be everything from folk to hip hop to jazz to whatever. But yeah, the actual, I mean, heavy music, metal, rock, punk, all of those genres. There's bar shows every week, but not necessarily a big sort of weekend long event of this nature. So, you're in the 8th year now, right? So, I mean, what has the reception been to this? Obviously, it's been popular enough that you're able to keep doing it and keep growing the event. But what has sort of been the trajectory from when you first started to now? I mean, how have you seen this grow and hopefully improve?
Yeah, it's definitely starting to reach a wider audience. When we started, it was, you know, a small knit crew. It was the people from the surrounding area, our friends basically coming out. And every year as we moved, we started reaching, like casting a wider net and starting bringing in people from other parts of the province, to now where, you know, some of the people who are purchasing tickets are, I have no idea who they are. It's just random music lovers from across the province. So that's a pretty good indication, I think, of where we're headed is, we're starting to reach people that, you know, maybe not the crowd that, you know, goes to the small shows on the weekends, you know, in the village or downtown or wherever. So yeah, starting to get some attention. So pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah, that's cool. And I think you're right too. This might be an opportunity for some people to see these bands where they've heard them maybe online or whatever, and they haven't actually had a chance, whether they don't live in Winnipeg or they just haven't been out to some of those venues, that this is kind of like a one-stop opportunity to see all this stuff. What has the reaction from the bands been? Because I'm sure you've had artists that have played multiple years now, sort of since you've created this.
Yeah, well, the bands, they love the stage and the venue. I mean, I'm a performer myself, so you kind of know what musicians like. I mean, our drum riser is way up in the air, so all the pictures, you can actually see the drum riser. That's probably the compliment we get most of the time, is the drummers are just thrilled that they're going to be seen in the pictures because they're way up there.
Yeah, for sure.
And just things we've learned over the years, like how to control your crowd to make it a good atmosphere. You know, like you go to some, like, you never want to go to a show and have your crowd spread out. Like, you know, a big venue where it feels empty, you can have, you know, 300-400 people, but if it's a huge open space, it feels empty. So we've really learned a lot about that over the years. And this is dating back to, like, you know, in 2005, 2006, we were putting up snow fence to try and kind of contain the party to make a social atmosphere where people can mingle and meet new people. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you say we, obviously there's more people involved in this than just you. And I imagine that's grown sort of over the years as well. How many people does it take to actually pull this thing off? I mean, obviously outside of the bands and outside of the audience is coming, which is, you know, a lot of people to deal with in that short amount of time. But how many, I imagine you have volunteers and other people involved in putting this on?
Yeah, I have a core group of friends who I, you know, play music with and I've known for 20 plus years, right? They help out quite a bit, you know, just like, you know, Alan, Caitler, Cameron Palmer, Michael Almendinger, just to name a few. So there's a couple key people that really help do this thing. And other than that, it's me and my wife, Devonna, and we have four kids that help out that cool. Are, you know, starting to get into music themselves. And it's, yeah, good opportunity for them to learn what it takes, right?
Well, it's kind of cool to keep that sort of family dimension of it too, even as it grows, right? Even as it gets bigger, you still have that sort of community based around it.
Yeah, sure. No, it's absolutely. It's been quite the experience, you know. Back like when we started, it was, you know, it was a backyard unlicensed party in 2018. So then back in those days, it was kind of, you know, all buddies would come over, you know, we'd have a couple beers, have a good time and put on a show. But over the years, it's really kind of changed into, yeah, it's like the setup behind the scenes is definitely a lot more family orientated now. The show itself, you would never know. It's still a good rock and roll kind of party, right? But yeah, it's definitely evolved the setup over the years. The kids are getting older, so they're, you know, able to help out quite a bit more now, and they're learning a ton. Like, you know, we do everything in-house, from, you know, our sound, lighting, you know, we rent part of our PA, but we hook everything up ourselves. We program all our own lighting. So it's a really good opportunity to teach and mentor the next generation, I guess.
Sure.
Say.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess that goes for not only people doing the behind the scenes stuff, but the artists as well. Right. I mean, this might be the first festival that some of these people have played, and it gives them that opportunity to experience that too.
Well, sure. And, you know, we really like that we can kind of bridge between, you know, local acts and, you know, out of province touring grade acts. And that's a good response we've gotten, is it, you know, you end up making, like, a lot of the artists end up making connections with some of these touring bands that next time they come through Winnipeg, you know, if they're playing at the park or wherever, that they're like, hey, you know, maybe we'll book these guys as an opener. We just played with them last year at Bankside. So it's making a lot of connections for everybody involved, which I think is great. We'll be right back.
How do you decide on the acts that are playing at this? Because I mean, you know, like I said, every year I recognize most of the bands on the bill. I probably interviewed half of them at least, right? So I mean, you're getting a lot of really good local artists, and like you said, there's out of town bands as well. But what is the decision making process like? Who makes a good act to be playing at Bankside?
Well, I typically book bands that I like.
That helps. You know, like, nice to have you.
I just, you know, I like these bands. I listen to these bands. I'm into rock and punk and metal, and you know, so is my wife Devonna too. So you know, we'll sit down and listen and try and figure out, okay, you know, who's gonna go good with who, and try and, you know, kind of make the lineup where, you know, we don't have a whole bunch of bands that sound exactly the same, where, you know, it changes. You get a little bit of the rock, a little bit of the punk, a little bit of the grunge. And yeah, we just, you know, we usually start booking the headliners, and then once we got the headliners, we just kind of work our way down and put together a lineup that we think would be interesting. So
do you have you had, I guess, since you started doing this, like bucket list bands, like bands that you have kind of always wanted to get on the festival? And have you actually managed to fulfill any of those bands that you've sort of always hoped would do Bankside?
Yeah, definitely fulfilled some of them. There's a few bucket list ones that are tough to get, that are tough to book. Like I'll use Dreadnought, for example. Okay. I would love to have them, but it's tough because a lot of their members are on tour doing sound during the summertime. So tried multiple times, just hard to get them in July. Summer's busy, right?
I don't think I even knew they were still around, to be honest with you.
Well, I don't know if they're really active, but it's worth a try every year. I try.
For sure.
I try. I've been a fan of Dreadnought since, you know, whatever, 03, 04, right? Back to the days of seeing them at the zoo. So, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. So who's playing this year? I mean, I know you have, like you said, it's pretty diverse. It's all, I guess, falls under the heavy umbrella, right? But you have bands that are more sort of hard rock, more grunge, more punk, more leaning into the metal side of things. What's the bill like for 2026?
Well, Friday night, we're doing our heavier music on Friday night. So Seventh String is going to be headlining with support from Toaster Bath, Lost Planet Airmen, and Corey and the Convicts. They're a local act from the area. They're some buddies of mine that I've known for 25 years. They're very well known around here. And then for Saturday, we've got A Caudaline Crush, Broken Love, and Calling All Captains for our out-of-province bands, with support from the Bloodshots, One of Us, Penny Sleeve, Ledwin, and maybe one more that's not on the poster that I can't really talk about right now.
Okay, cool. So Caudaline Crush, I mean, that seems like probably the biggest get, right? Of those. I mean, and they have the Manitoba connections, obviously, you know, with the singer's origins, like in the Verdun area. But I feel like they've been sort of doing a lot of shows like this, not necessarily festivals, but they have been doing festivals too, like in Manitoba, and sort of showing up here and there in unusual places. So was it difficult to sort of pin them down for this, or were they pretty open to doing this kind of thing?
We actually had them in 2019.
Okay.
They headlined in 2019. At that time, they weren't nearly as active as they were nowadays. And it was a great show with a great turnout. So it was a little easier to reach out for them because they knew us personally and they knew the location, they knew the venue. So yeah, it was always a little bit easier of a one to pin down with the personal connection. So
that's cool. Yeah. Yeah. And I guess having someone like that too, even when they weren't as active, like the name recognition, right? I mean, that's a band that I think a lot of people of a certain age, I mean, within a few generations of each other in Canada are obviously really familiar with, right? So that helps to bring people in to maybe check out some of these local bands that they haven't heard previously.
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, with our choice of the three out of province bands that we brought in, we wanted to cast a wide net. So we got, you know, a Caroline Crush is more for, you know, maybe the older generation, my age or whatever, too, you know, in your 30s or 40s or whatever, right? And then, you know, Broken Love being the newer rock, right? You know, maybe catering to the younger audience. And then Calling All Captains kind of stays with our roots of, you know, punk and, you know, punk and metal and, you know, maybe even a splash of hardcore in there, right?
Yeah, sure,
so
sure.
Yeah, so to try and cast a wide net, you know, get a little bit of everything, right?
Yeah, and how does this? what is the experience of promoting this like? Because, I mean, I obviously it's a festival. You want as many people to come out as possible. You have all these bands playing that appeal to different audiences. And we're in an era now where everyone has to be basically promoting their shit 24/7 on whatever platforms and stuff, right? And so this being a very DIY thing, and like you said, it's a family event. It's something you've been doing sort of, you know, with a small group of people for years. What has the experience been like just trying to sort of get the word out? Because it's, you know, it's very, I haven't played in bands myself in a few decades, but the way you promote shows now, even just bar shows, is completely different than it was even 20 years ago.
Well, sure. And you know, it changes every 2 years too. We learned something every year. You know, we try different things. We've tried promoting in different areas. We've tried radio ads. We've done TV interviews. We've done online. We've tried a whole bunch of different avenues to try and get the word out there and really kind of get people out of Winnipeg. You know, I talk to a lot of people and they hear about this. They're like, wow, I can't believe I've never heard about that. But in 2026, that's the hard part, is, you know, the market is so saturated and there's so much information out there. Just getting your information to people has been a challenge. So for this year, we've really emphasized online content. I've, you know, jumped out of my comfort zone and put my face on camera and, you know, really tried to do it that way. And it seems to be working. You know, we're on TikTok and Snapchat this year, which is, you know, I have a teenage daughter that tells me that's where you got to be. If you want to reach the new generation, you got to be on Snapchat and you got to be on TikTok. So there we are.
How's that going for you? I mean, I got teenage kids too. I totally get it. Is that, have you found those easy to navigate?
You know what? TikTok's actually, it's pretty good. Their algorithm, the way it reaches people, you know, you look at your views, it's like, wow, like how is it finding these people? I'll see names of people that I've known 20 years ago from the area. And cool. It's like, how did they know to push this video to them? But it's a pretty powerful tool, TikTok. I'm quite surprised. So
cool. So maybe that's another question. How do people find out more about this? I mean, because we've said the lineup, but you know, people might have forgotten it already by now. Where do they go if they want to find out the details of where it's happening, when it's happening, who's playing, how to get tickets, all that stuff?
Yeah, I would say bankside.ca is the best place to find it. But we're everywhere. We're on all the social platforms now, so trying to be everywhere all the time. So.
And I guess, you know, because it's a festival and it's in an outdoor space, I assume that are there tickets available like in advance, preferably, I guess, and then probably at the venue as well, or is it all ahead of time?
Yeah, so we sell them in advance and we do, as most festivals do these days, in tiers. So
sure.
The pricing increases every so often. We just passed one June 15th. Then day of show at the gate, they'll step up again to try and encourage advanced sales. It's always most of our advanced sales come in last minute. Everyone's, you know, waiting to see the forecast. Am I going to feel like it that weekend? Maybe something else will come up. Maybe my car will break down. Who knows, right? So, so I think a lot of festivals are doing the tiered pricing system now just to try and encourage those advanced sales. And, you know, for your diehard fans, it's great for them because they can get, you know, tickets at a discounted rate. And it kind of helps us as festival organizers prepare a little bit better to get an idea of how many people are coming.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, definitely. I mean, if you don't sell any tickets ahead of time, it's maybe like, oh, maybe this isn't going to work out. But so I assume people buy those from the website?
Yeah, we do it, everything off our website internally. We don't go through any third party. It's right off the website. So
How far is this from the city? Because I obviously was confused about where it was based on thinking this was the place that other festivals happen at. I mean, it's one of the things about, I think, about Manitoba is that there are a lot of communities that I know of and I can place on a map. This is not one of them. I've lived here my whole life, but I don't think I've ever been there. So how do you find it from the city?
We are 80 kilometers south of Winnipeg. So it's about 50 minutes, depending how fast you could drive. I would say, 45 if you're hammering down, 45 minutes south of the city. We're right near the community of Letelier. So we're right along the Red River. We're about 10, 15 minutes from the U.S. border.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it's quite south then.
Yeah. It comes out. We're up on Google Maps there. So it's quite easy to find if someone's trying to locate it. So
cool. And then what is the, I don't know if you can answer this maybe, but what is sort of your eventual goal with this? Because like we've established, you've been doing it for a while. It seems like it's growing, which is a great thing. You're getting more interest from bands, from concert goers. What do you hope to accomplish with this? I mean, I assume you're going to keep doing this for the foreseeable future. So do you have like sort of an idea of what you'd like to see Bankside become, or are you happy with it at its current sort of state?
Yeah, I would like to keep growing it for sure. It's and I guess my goal and my reason for wanting to do that is, well, obviously the passion for live music, but it's the community of Letelier is where I grew up. It's a community of 165 people. It's very, very small, and a lot of our neighborhood communities have grown quite a bit, even just in my lifetime, and Letelier not so much. It's one of those communities that, nobody knows anything about it, right? So it kind of puts it on the map, right? And lets people know, which is great. And if that snowballs into, new developments in the community and, tourism for the area, then that's great. So I guess that would be the big picture, is to just really put this area on the map, right?
Is that something that you can get, maybe you've already done this too, but do you get involved with local community organizations or politicians or whatever when you're putting this on? Is Letelier kind of as a whole involved in this in any kind of way, or are you just sort of drawing people to the area?
I'm kind of drawing people to the area. There is some community support from the municipality and everything. It gets on the newsletter. Help to promote it, and it's really, nowadays it's really starting to be more so like that. When we started, I think everybody kind of branded it as a metal festival. The posters were really dark and scary looking, and I think people are starting to warm up to it a little bit. So
cool. They're starting to realize that metal's not as scary as the logos of the bands might seem. Cool. So you want to just one more time, what are the dates of the event and who's playing?
We are July 17th and 18th in Letelier, Manitoba. We've got the Caudaline Crush, Broken Love, and Calling All Captains on Saturday with support from the Bloodshots, One of Us, Penny Sleeve, and Ledwin. And on Friday, July 17th, we have Seventh String with support from Toaster Bath, Lost Planet Airmen, and Corey and the Convicts.
Awesome. And then the website again, where people can find tickets?
Website is bankside.ca. We'll be right back.
It takes the kisses out of me. Blinding fire.